You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 24th of November, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today is Thanksgiving, so I wish all our American listeners a happy Thanksgiving. I hope they enjoy their turkey meal with their family. And I think this is the first Thanksgiving podcast that I've done where I haven't actually had a co-host with me, an American co-host. Last year, I think we had Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. I'm sure we've had Grandpa Dan on at times. So this is really my first solo Thanksgiving podcast. And I thought I would make that the central point of today's episode of the Daily Nationalist and just talk about things that we can give thanks for. I think the most important thing that we can all give thanks for is our family. And this really leads on to another topic. I mean, we all feel most at home with our family. Our family is most important to us. We know that we can rely on them in most cases. When you think about it, really, your family is the only thing that you actually own. It is your own family. Anything else is purchased from somewhere. It's created by somebody else, but your own, and it can be taken off you. Property can be taken off you, but your family can never be taken away from you. That's your ancestry. That's your inheritance that makes you who you are. And I find this is a good way to talk about ethno-nationalism and about nationalism to people, is to start by concentrating on the family and saying, well, everybody feels most at home amongst their family. And all nationalism is extending that to the extended family. Obviously, you're going to feel more at home and more comfortable around your own people. And that's not just white people that are going to be most comfortable like that. Chinese are going to be most comfortable, Indians. All ethnicities are always going to be better off amongst their own people. And they're going to be better off dealing with problems among their own people as well, because they're going to be more used to it. If, say, for instance, if you come from an ethnicity that has quite a high crime rate, then you're going to be best placed to understand how to deal with that, because that ethnicity will have developed techniques of dealing with that over the years, over the millennia, over the centuries. Whereas if you have a multicultural area, then the people that are the host nation may not be used to dealing with it, because they're used to dealing with criminals in their own ethnicity. And also, when you have multicultural areas, it just leads to more crime anyway, because there are more potential victims. It's always going to be easier for a criminal to pick on a victim from another ethnicity than to pick on a victim from his own. And again, that goes back to the family. It's going to be more difficult to harm someone in your own family or to steal from somebody in your own family than it would be to do it to a member of another family, if you were a criminal-minded type person, that is. So the nation is really just an extension of the family, the ethnic nation, which is where the word actually comes from. It comes from natal, which means birth. So it's a people that are connected through birth, not a people who are connected through the territory that they live upon or the territory that they were born on, but a people that are connected through their blood, through their ancestry, through their ancestors. That's what makes a nation. And I'm very thankful that I come from a nation. I'm very thankful for the race that I come from and for the great achievements of my ancestors. I mean, if we look around us today, just about every, well, it is everything that we have was either created by people in this generation or from generations before. And I think today, regardless of all the complaints we may have about the countries that we live in, the majority of these problems have been caused by ourselves, and they can be traced back to this policy of multiculturalism. But the countries that we live in today are so more advanced than we were in the past. For instance, with medicine and with medical technology. If we were living 1,000 years ago, for instance, we would still be having a problem with parasites. And we don't have a problem with parasites such as worms, ticks and scabies. I mean, you read about people in the past getting worms, and there was just nothing that they could actually do about it. And I mean, that must have been really, really awful. You think about the fact that we have running water all the time now. We're told that our ancestors didn't have running water, and they didn't wash very much, but I do find that difficult to believe, because we know that thousands of years ago, for instance, we had running water in white civilizations. I think one of the first ones was the Indus River Valley civilization. They had running water there. And in Scotland, if we look at Skara Brae, that there are sinks there, and I think there's a system there for washing away your dirty water down into the drain. So we had sanitation going back thousands of years, but obviously our sanitation today is so much better. We have hot water on tap. We have central heating. We don't have to have a smoky fire in the middle of the room in order to keep us at a nice temperature. We have access to all the information at our fingertips. We have access to the world's libraries through the internet. I think the internet is one of the greatest inventions that have ever come about, really. To be able to just look up whatever subject you want and find information on it. And I know that that has got distorted and within the last 5 or 6 years, with the search engines being tampered with, so that you don't get the most clicked on results. You get the results that the Google search engine and the other search engines want you to see now. Whereas in the early days of the internet, it truly was democratic, and you got to see the most popular search results. And of course, if they're the most popular search results, that's because people think that they're the most reliable search results. They're the most sensible search results. And of course, that is not the case now. You get directed to the mainstream media's version of events rather than, say, an eyewitness's version of events. But we still have access to all the books that have ever been scanned and put online. We have access to a lot of really, really fascinating books from the 1800s. That really did open my eyes, reading books written by people during the slavery era, people that owned slaves, reading the debates between the people that owned slaves and the people that didn't own slaves and that wanted to end slavery. And you get a really different view to what we're told today the people that owned slaves are like. They were good Christian men, generally. And the Bible tells you not to mistreat your slaves. And I don't think the majority of the slave owners did. And that comes from reading these books. They are there. Now, if you think before the age of the internet, those books were still there, but they would have been in museums. You weren't able to access them. There weren't any reprints of them. I mean, there are very few reprints of them today. But you can find the PDF copies on archive.org. Now, archive.org ended up deleting the entire back catalogue of Radio Albion podcasts some years back, which was a great shame, but it's still a wonderful site, the way that it has all these old books that are on there, and I dare say a lot of pressure was put on them to get rid of our podcasts, but the fact that they still have these books on there from years ago is a wonderful thing. And it means that people today can read them and learn exactly how our ancestors thought at the time. And learning that really does stop you having this guilt that they try to instill in us over our ancestors, because they were far more moral than we are today. And that's just common sense, really. If you think they were far more Christian back then, that meant that, and they took Christianity very, very seriously back then, it meant that they were very highly moral people. So I'm very thankful that we have this information, that they wrote this information down, that they left that for us, so we can understand what life was like before the age of multiculturalism. I'm very thankful that we do have some protections in the West for free speech and for organising. It's not like if we talk about nationalist issues, we're going to get thrown into a jail, or if we talk about anything that's different to government policy, we get jailed. And I know in some parts of the world that can happen. Places like North Korea, if you go against the government, that can happen. Of course, you might say, well, why would anyone go against the government in North Korea? It's 99.9% North Koreans, and they are doing what is best for North Koreans. They're just not interested in the global system. They don't want to be a part of that. So I'm thankful that we have this great diversity still, as is exemplified, really, by a country like North Korea. I like to see all these differences, these different ethnic groups, the different cultures that they have, the different ways of doing things. When I was a child, I was fascinated by reports of different tribes in areas that the white man had yet to really venture into. Places like Papua New Guinea, where there were cannibals, places in Africa, deepest, darkest Africa, where there were pygmies and bushmen, and South America and in Patagonia. All these things used to really fascinate me. And I thank our ancestors for adventuring out and finding these places and taking pictures or drawing pictures and interviewing these natives so that we could learn about them today. And I just found that really inspirational. And I still do, particularly as a nationalist. I'm fascinated by the differences that we have between the different ethnicities. And I don't think we can judge any other ethnicity but our own. I mean, we can judge our own ethnicity because we know what it is like to walk in our shoes. But we can't really judge any other ethnicities because we are not that ethnicity. It's rather like a dog wondering what it's like to be a cat. You know, it's not possible that we can do that. Of course, that's why, as a nationalist, we strive against the modern idea of diversity, which will actually end up with there being no diversity left at the end. If you mix all these different ethnicities together within one territory, I mean, if you're in a territory, breeding rights come with the territory, and you end up losing the different ethnicities. You end up losing what it was that made them all unique in the first place. And we know from history that when people stop being the ethnicity that created the civilization, they stop being able to maintain the civilization, and it falls apart. That's what multiculturalism does. True diversity would be having boundaries between the different ethnic groups so that they couldn't interbreed. And that would preserve the diversity that we have, and that would preserve the differences that we have. It's these differences that make the world so exciting and colourful and interesting to learn about. And of course, our opponents capitalise on this, and they say, well, we want all that in one place, though. We want all that interesting differences. We want that all in one place. But that just destroys the differences. And you just end up with one monoculture all the way across the world, a McDonald's culture of consumerism, with everybody having that in common together, that they're all consumers. And instead of having an identity that is based on your ancestry and your culture, you're given an identity that is based upon your consumerism and the things that you purchase, whether that's Man United sweatshirts or whether that's gothic clothing because you're into goth music. It's all an identity that comes from consumerism rather than an identity that comes from your ancestry. So I'm thankful that I have an identity that comes from my ancestry. And I feel a lot of sympathy for people that are mixed race and they don't have an identity that comes from their ancestry. They have a mixed identity, which means they're neither one or the other. It must be very sad for them. So I'm very glad that I do have an identity. I do have ancestry. And I'm glad I have records of my ancestors and what they did. What I mean by that is we can read about what our ancestors did and we can learn from that what we're good at doing ourselves. And as a white man, my ancestors were objective. They were merciful. They were charitable. And they had a lot of good qualities, which I think we should be concentrating on today, particularly with the struggle that we have. We need to be objective about it rather than subjective. That's where the white man really exceeds, is when being objective, looking at things from all different points of view, instead of just looking at it from our own group's point of view. I mean, this is why I say I like to see Jews, for instance, in Israel, celebrating being Jewish and doing their little dances and waving their flags. And it's great to see, because what we're seeing there is an ethnic group reveling in being that ethnic group. And I just wish that all ethnic groups were like that. I wish we had that sense of ethnocentrism amongst British people, for instance. I certainly don't resent Jews for having that. I think that's the way that everybody should be. So I do like to see ethnocentrism, regardless of where it comes from. I am thankful for ethnocentrism. I am thankful for patriotism. I mean, I've been to countries in Europe, Lithuania and Latvia, where they have had patriotic days, days of celebrating their independence, days of celebrating getting rid of communism, days of celebrating resistance to communism at the end of the war. And you just get a sense of this wonderful sense of patriotism that almost brings tears to your eyes to see this love for the people that they have for their own people. I mean, you don't need to be a part of that people to understand that and to see that and to be thankful that we have that in the world. And then you concentrate on it and you think, well, that is my identity. What is my identity? What is my group? And then you start identifying with that group, and it brings the best out in you as you seek to be a good example of your group. And that's what nationalism is. So I'm very thankful that we have nationalism, that we grew from being families into being clans, into being tribes, into being nations. I mean, it's not so good today that the word nation has become distorted and seems to mean a group of people living within a territory, regardless of ties of ancestry. That's not such a good thing. But we do still have the knowledge of what a nation is. And through the way that language has grown, we can trace back the ancestry of these words so that we know what the words originally meant. Things like patriot. That goes back to the word patria, that goes back to father. So again, that must be down to ancestry. Nation goes back to natal, birth. Again, it must go back to ancestry. So I'm glad that we have recorded these things as well. I'm thankful that we have a history, that we wrote down our history. There are ethnic groups that didn't develop a written language, and they were unable to write down their history. Because they were unable to write down their history, they were unable to progress, because they were only able to talk about what had happened within their lifetime. When you have a written language and you're able to write things down, you can pass on knowledge to the next generation. And that's how, as white people, we have managed to do all these amazing things that we managed to achieve in the world, is because we are able to write down our achievements, and we're able to pass this knowledge on to the next generation. So I am incredibly thankful for being white. And some people might say, oh, well, it's just an accident of birth. You're either born white, or you're born Chinese, or you're born black. It's not an accident of birth. If you're born white, it means every one of your ancestors before you married someone who looked like them. And they loved their own group, and they married within their own group instead of marrying someone from another group. If they'd married someone from another group, then you wouldn't be born white. So I'm thankful for my ancestors loving their own people and standing up for their own people and are thankful for all the lives that my ancestors have laid down so that they could secure a territory for us. Our elites today may be going back on their love for their people. They may have forgotten the love of their people. But I think our elites from years ago, I think they did have a love for their people. You look at kings like Alfred the Great. I mean, he achieved some amazing things. And he clearly loved his people and wanted to do his best for his people. And there are leaders like that throughout history that have done incredible things for their people. Our kings used to lead us into battle. You know, they used to risk dying in battle in order to defend their people. When you think of all the soldiers that laid down their lives in World War One and World War Two, and they lied to us about it today. They say that they were fighting to preserve democracy, or they were fighting to save the Jews, or they were fighting against the evils of Nazism. And all of that is untrue. They were fighting in order to defend their country from being invaded by another people. You know, the British genuinely thought that the Germans were trying to invade Britain, or that they would invade Britain if they were not stopped. And that was the reason for them going out and fighting. So they laid down their lives to preserve the lives of the women and the children that they had back home. So I'm very thankful that my ancestors were so brave and they went out and fought to preserve what they had at home. Whether they were right or wrong to do that, the fact that they actually did that shows that they had great courage and that they were good people. I'm thankful that my ancestors set such a good example throughout history, writing down laws, developing a system of law, developing a system of education, eventually getting to the stage where everybody was educated. I mean, education really goes back to Christianity and the monks, and the monks deciding that if they were going to get people to become Christian, they first had to be educated so that they understood what it meant to be Christian. I mean, before that, you always had an intellectual class, and the intellectual class, the philosophers, would study books and they would think about things, and the rest of society would be going out there working in the fields or building, doing other things that needed to be done, so that the intellectual class could spend their time learning. But back then, it was really just this intellectual class, I think, that were properly educated and knew how to read and write. And today, we have everybody is educated, which is an amazing thing, which goes back to white people wanting people to be educated. And we set a good example in that respect, I think. We also did away with slavery. The only people in the entire history of the world to do away with slavery, to stop black Africans from selling other black Africans. We even had people that laid down their lives to do that, to prevent them from doing that. Sailors that went out with the Navy around the coast of Africa to stop these slave ships from leaving Africa. And a lot of them died due to tropical diseases. They literally laid down their lives to prevent black Africans from selling other black Africans. So we didn't just lay down our lives to protect and preserve our own people, but we laid down our lives to protect and preserve other peoples. We have a lot of explorers that ended up dying or contracting terrible diseases just so that they could go to places of the world, or places on the earth rather, that we'd never been before. When you think of the polar adventurers, the Arctic adventurers going out into the North Pole, when you think of Captain Scott and what happened to him, those brave men, they were so incredibly courageous and incredibly physically resistant to things like frostbite. You think some of them ended up losing their toes, losing their fingers, being stranded. I mean, they didn't have the clothing that we have today. And they did all of this just so they could be the first people to do that. It's like the first man to climb Mount Everest. You know, as white people, we have this drive within us to explore and to do new things and to be the first to do things. And I'm thankful that we have that drive, because it is that drive that pushes the world forwards into progress, discovering new things, creating new things that are of benefit to everyone. And as white people, we do share what we have. We don't just keep it all for ourselves. You know, we go to these other countries and we don't lord it over them. We give them education, we teach them, we try to get them up to the same standards so that they could run the country for themselves. And once we got to that stage, we ended up handing these countries over to them. Places like India and Africa, once they'd been developed, once they had roads and railways, transport, telecommunications, electricity, clean water, all these things we brought with us, this knowledge how to do this, we brought with us into these countries. And we shared that with the people that were there. And I give thanks that we had that ability to do that. People may say today, well, look at how ungrateful these people are that we did that. And that's a good point. They should be thankful for what we did. But it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be thankful that my ancestors were the sort of people that did things like that, that helped people. That meant that they were good people. They may have been misguided in some instances, and we certainly have a lot of misguided people today whose ethnocentrism is clearly lacking, and to go out of their way to do things for these other groups at the expense of our own group. I mean, we did these great things years ago, as I say, bringing all these technologies to peoples that didn't have them. But at the same time, we still put our people first. We still knew that we were different to these other peoples. We still had a sense of understanding that we should be thankful because we had all these things that separated us from these other groups, because we had the ability to build civilization. And we were thankful for that. We are thankful for the fact that we had that ability. Not thankful that these other groups didn't have the ability, but thankful that we had the ability. And this gets misconstrued today as white supremacy. But of course, you're always going to think your group is the best, aren't you? You're going to think your family are the best. And it's only natural that you would think that your nation is the best, your group of people, and you're going to be happiest amongst that group of people rather than being happy amongst another group. So I'm thankful today that we still have sections of our countries that are still 100% for our own ethnicity. I'm thankful for the countryside that you can go to. You go to the countryside in just about any white country in the world, and you're going to find that it's 99.9% white still. And you're going to find that there are traditions there that have gone on for centuries. So I'm thankful that we still have that. We have our cities, multicultural cities, but most of the time, the multiculturalism stays in those cities. So we do still have places that we can go to, refuges that we can go to that are a sanctuary from the multiculturalism, places that are still clean and tidy and don't have litter, places that we still care for, and where we have people who show a concern for their surroundings and a concern for their countryside. I mean, we have the most beautiful countryside in the world in Britain, I think, but of course I would say that because I'm British. And I try to be objective, but I do think the British countryside is the most beautiful that there is. There's nothing like looking out over the British landscape, particularly in Wales. Look out over Wales from one of these mountainous areas and looking at the valleys below and the green patchwork and the stone walling, and it just makes you feel really glad to be alive. And I'm really thankful that my ancestors thought to put those stone walling up, and they thought to split those fields up, and they cut down the trees so that we could have greenery. I mean, a lot of people will look at the British countryside and they'll think that, you know, it just looks like that. It's completely natural. But it's not. There's loads of work that has gone into it over the centuries to keep it going, to make it all productive. And at the same time as doing that, they made it look beautiful. So I'm very thankful that my ancestors put so much thought into the way that they did things. If you look at, for instance, at old architecture, it looks fantastic. It looks beautiful, particularly when you compare it to the things that we produce today. Today, we just try to be utilitarian, but our ancestors tried to be beautiful and grandiose in what they did. And you look at the great cathedrals and the churches that we built. We have so many amazing things around us. that we should be thankful for. And that's just some of them. I mean, I could probably go on all day talking about the wonderful things that we have to be thankful for. So I guess what I'm saying is don't get down. Don't get down thinking about all the problems that we have, because we are still in a far better position than we were years ago. And all that our ancestors were capable of doing, we're capable of doing the same, because they are our ancestors. Their blood lives on in us, their spirit lives on in us, their ideas live on in us. And if we can achieve just a fraction of what the previous generations did, then we're still doing well, aren't we? Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.